Great to see some faces, second service faces, and some of you have stuck around for the second time here. And it's always a blessing to be with you. I appreciate Pastor Bryce's heart to reach out to people. I really commend him on his little video broadcasts that he does out on Facebook. I watch those, and that's an encouragement to a lot of people. You know, in a season when circumstances have tried to lock us down, we've had to be creative in how not to be locked down. And some really good things are coming out of that. And we believe that more good things are going to come. So today I'm talking to you about the voice behind you. So we're going to do a second service version of the voice behind you. We'll see how it comes out. But I do believe that God wants us to hear the voice behind us. There's lots of voices out there right now. Lots of noise. Lots of, not a lot of sound, but a lot of noise. And you can easily be distracted by what is going on in the world. I really appreciate Shauna sharing this morning, what's going on in her, that God is stirring in her heart. And it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Christ in me is the hope of glory.
That's right.
Christ in me is the hope of glory. It's not what God's going to do out here. It's what he's doing inside of here that's the ultimate hope of glory. Such a hope that physically when we die, we don't die.
Yes.
Amen.
That everything ends up in more, ends up in increase, ends up in life. God always ends in greater light.
Amen.
Now, I've been hearing God this year. God's been stirring in my heart a lot prophetically. And I heard the Lord say that in this season that you've been in, there's been a cry for justice. But my justice supersedes the justice of men, and I'm bringing you into a place of great grace, says God. Great grace where you will hear a voice behind you. You hear me speak behind you. So there's lots of things going on, but God right now really wants us to hear the voice behind us. Now what he says behind us, he's not talking about on the stage and I'm here. He's the motivating voice. The term behind is a motivating voice. Not a voice that controls, not a voice that manipulates, but a voice that inspires.
Amen.
A voice that gives you an internal knowing. A voice that invites you out of hunger to turn to see what that voice is and to be changed by that voice. So 2020, there were a lot of cries for justice. Cries for justice on the left, cries for justice on the right, cries for justice down the middle. Cries for justice everywhere. And clearly there is a need for justice. But I shared this in the first service, and that is this. In the days when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, they'd been there for 430 years. And none of them were 430 years old. They were all less than 100. Which means, and probably they were probably most of them less than 50. They were slaves making bricks, so they probably didn't live all that long in life expectancy. They weren't treated nicely and they didn't eat well. They were slaves, so they didn't know what freedom was. So no one had any idea what freedom looked like. But God heard their cry for freedom. I believe that God right now has heard the cry of the nations for justice, for freedom. But the truth is, none of us know what true freedom really is.
Right.
None of us have a perspective of saying, well, there was a time when we had freedom, but now we don't. The only thing we have is like the children of Israel, we have stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stories are perceptions. Yeah. Stories are not experience. Mm-hmm. Stories are someone else's experience that now becomes a handed down story.
Right.
So I'm going to say the justice that God wants to bring in this season is something we've never seen, heard, or thought before. We were in a season where God heard the cry of justice, but now we're into a season where God's justice is going to prevail. God is going to exercise his justice. And God's justice is a justice of mercy and grace.
To everyone.
Mercy is a judgment that frees me from the past.
Amen.
Yes.
Grace is a power that gives me a present that I've never
yes,
seen before.
Amen. That's right.
Grace is the presence of God in our lives that gives us a heavenly reality in our world right now.
Right.
My life Bonnie and I, our relationship. Thank God for mercy. We can always find a new day.
Yeah.
But we also have grace that we can be a couple that we've never been before. We can live in every season of our life and that we've never been before. Have you found that life is full of changes?
Yeah.
So if you get comfortable, you're going to get dead. Because life is full of changes, so you have to be able to find the key to find life in new places, find life in new ways. Thank God our Father's a creator. That means we should be creative.
Yes.
We should be able to see life in any situation.
Amen.
Now, we read some verses earlier. We're going to read them again in John 16. The circumstance is Jesus was talking to his disciples right before he's going to be crucified. And he's talking to them. They're acknowledging that a lot of times they don't understand what he says. They've acknowledged that for 3 years he's been saying things and he always speaks in a way that we don't really know what you're talking about. But now we're hearing you clearly. And he's talking about he's going to go away. Now they think they're hearing him clearly, but in reality they weren't really hearing him clearly. You see, they could hear a voice to them, but they couldn't hear a voice behind them. Even though Jesus was in the space with them, they could hear Jesus talking to them. But they hadn't come to the place where they could hear Jesus behind them. Christ wasn't in them yet. And so they were getting the story of Jesus. And then Jesus says this in John chapter 16, in verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each of you to his own. Now, they had just said, hey, we are hearing you speak plainly now. You're speaking plainly to us. They think he's speaking plainly to them. But their world is about to be shaken. Their world is about to be shaken. Has your world been shaken?
Mm-hmm. A few times.
Is your world being shaken?
Yes.
When your world is shaking, God is always doing something really good.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've told you before when I've been here, the only one that can make the world shake is the unshakable one.
That's right. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
The devil is not shaking your world. The devil happens to be in corners of your world, and God in your world is making the devil shake.
Devil shake. Amen.
So when your world starts to shake, you need to rejoice. It means the shaky things are about to be gone from your life because the unshakable one is manifesting.
Yeah.
When the rock walks into a room of rocks, all the of rocks shake. When fire, God who is fire, comes into the room of little fires, all the fires burn up, burn out, because he's fire. So life is more powerful than death. So Jesus is telling his friends here, his disciples, that they're really going to be scattered. Each of you to his own, and you're going to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Now that's what he wanted for them, to get a revelation that you're not alone. Your Father is always with you. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation. Say it, in my world, I will have tribulation. But I can be of good courage because he has overcome the world. He has overcome for my world. He's an overcomer. We've heard that already today, that God wants us to be overcomers. So be of good courage. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so he wanted his disciples to know that he is in our world, the overcoming one. Now, there's another set of verses in 1 John, in chapter 4 of 1 John. And John here is writing to his church family, his expression of the body of Christ. It's something that was written 2,000 years ago, but it's true to the voice of God right now in our lives. And the things that John wrote to those who are in his sphere, in his world, Holy Spirit wants to say to us in our sphere, in our world right now. And by the way, there's been an increase of the influence of the kingdom of God since the days of John.
Yeah. Amen. True.
There's been an increase of the kingdom of God in the earth.
Amen.
Are the kingdoms of the world shaking? Yes, because the influence of the kingdom of God is increasing.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
When the prophet Isaiah says, in the world there's darkness, yes, deep darkness, but not so with you. It is among the peoples, but you're not the peoples. You're the children of God.
Amen.
It gets bright in the people of God so that it can be bright for the sake of those who are in darkness. Now, it isn't bright to expose darkness. It's bright to invite darkness to become bright. It's light to invite those in darkness to come to the light.
Yeah.
It's family to invite the lonely to find family.
That's good.
It's healing to invite the sick to find healing. It's goodness so that those who are in badness find goodness. When the rain falls on the just, it also rains on the unjust. When the blessings come on the unjust also then find those same blessings.
Yeah, thank God.
When the righteous flourish, the city rejoices.
Yeah.
Why? Because when the righteous flourish, it's blessings for the whole city.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why for 10 righteous, a city won't be destroyed. Not because it's the requirement to prevent God from destroying it. It's because 10 is enough to change a city to life.
That's right. Yeah.
It's because wherever God's presence is, God's presence is. And with God, He's a majority. God's a majority. He is life. So, in 1 John, John writes this. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Meaning there are other spirits. There are spirits of fear. There are spirits of control. There are spirits of intimidation. There are many spirits, but there's only one life-giving spirit. And spirits are what motivate your soul. Your thoughts, your reasoning, your imagination, your emotions, and your desires are meant to be inspired by spirit. But they were created to be inspired by your spirit, which is inspired by Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which then makes your spirit holy, and your soul holy, and your life holy. So you're supposed to be alive in Christ. You're supposed to be inspired from within by the life of God. So he says, don't believe every spirit. In our day and age, we look at the things that are going on in the world in our cries for justice, doesn't matter what our perspective is. And it's not really flesh and blood that we're dealing with.
That's right.
It's spirit.
Amen.
So there are many spirits that are in the world.
That's right.
Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good courage. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
Now, the purpose of that tribulation is to manifest the one who's overcome the world, Christ in you.
Amen.
Now, John says this in 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So John said this 2,000 years ago. Many false prophets, many false voices, many false speakings, many false, "This is what's going to happen." Many false prophets. "This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what is." Many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Now that word "has come," in the English, we have to write "it has come." We can't say every spirit that says Jesus came in the flesh. That's not accurate. Because it's not the spirit that says Jesus was a human being 2,000 years ago. The devil would have no problem telling you that Jesus came in the flesh 2,000 years ago. But he is not going to confess Jesus in you. Because if he recognizes Christ in you, he has to bow the knee.
Right.
He has to be subdued under the life of Christ in you. So the test is not the spirit that says Jesus came in the flesh. It's the spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh. Christ in you is the witness as to whether that was a true voice or a false voice. And the if you read on, it says the evidence that it's a true voice is it empowers you to love one another. It's a love-giving, life-giving. It's a voice behind you. It motivates you to be a giver of life. It doesn't make you fearful. It makes you faithful.
You're right. Yeah.
It doesn't make you intimidated. It makes you intimidating to death.
Yeah.
In other words, you are good news to death, but if death wants to hold on to being dead, it would look at you as bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So then John says this, every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The Antichrist is that which is anti-Christ.
Yeah, right.
We don't have this great promise of the Antichrist manifesting. We have this great promise of Christ manifesting.
Yeah.
Which then causes there to be an exposure of that which is anti-Christ. I've got news for you. Nothing that's anti-Christ can stop Christ.
That's right.
Got that right.
That's right.
Christ in me is the hope of glory, and nothing that's anti-Christ in me can stop the glory that's destined in my life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So I can expect anti-Christ to come against me so that Christ can manifest in me.
Yeah. Okay.
I can expect, so people say, well, is this the Antichrist? For goodness sakes, from the moment that Christ has been birthed in the earth, from the time a child was born, from the moment a son was given, there's been no end to the increase of that government and peace. From the moment that that happened, it manifested the lie for what it is.
Yeah.
And it caused the lie to be Antichrist. We'll call Antichrist death for a moment.
Yes.
The moment that Christ's life manifests, and that which says, I don't want to be alive, I'm death, it is going to tremble, it is going to shake, it is going to rock, it is going to roll, because life is walking into the room of death. And death can't remain as death. The only way that it can remain as death would be to go to hell.
Yeah. You can do that.
Can go.
There is a place for death.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
But God wants the earth to be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God. Let's put it down to a little smaller piece. God wants your life to be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen.
So Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So the test of the Spirit of God is it confesses Christ in you. That is the life of the Spirit that is inside of you. We are living in a time when there's lots of shaking going on, which means there's a lot of Christ manifesting right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
There's a lot of Christ manifesting right now. You didn't lose. You didn't win. He is life.
Yeah.
No matter what you're looking at life right now, God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's Christ in you by the life of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Bible says the life is in the spirit. The Bible doesn't say the life is in the blood.
The life of the flesh is in the blood.
It says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus said that the blood of the body of Christ is the life of the Spirit. Let me give you a confirmation of that. When he implemented what we call the Lord's Supper, the cup that he called the cup of blood was cup four of the Passover meal. When you read it in the book of Luke, he only talks about two cups there, the last two cups of the Passover meal, because the Passover meal had four cups. The first cup was the cup of, oh, I thank you, God, that you called a man named Abram who was a Chaldean and a Syrian, and you turned him into a Hebrew. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus lived that cup for 30 years of his life, an ordinary carpenter's boy. In an ordinary life like you, in your office, in your school bus, in your classroom, in your Zoom meeting, in your hospital ward. An ordinary life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that I could have been a Chaldean. I could have been an American. But I was born of the Spirit. Thank you, God, that an ordinary human like me, an ordinary person like Jesus, could be supernaturally born of the Spirit and live in an ordinary world with an extraordinary relationship with a loving Father from the inside out. Jesus lived that. And then in the story, it was a demonstration of we ended up in Egypt. But then God came with a mighty power and delivered us. He sent a deliverer, Moses, and Moses demonstrated the power of God to the Egyptians, and they would recite the plagues. Jesus lived that one out for 3.5 years, cup two, in the story. The Holy Spirit came on him when he was baptized by John, and then he went around casting out devils and raising the dead, healing the sick, multiplying bread, turning water to wine, doing things that life does. Because he had Christ in him. He was Christ. He was the body of Christ. Christ was in his body. He was the body of Christ. So he was a mighty deliverer. And then when he came to his crucifixion, he said, boys, this is the one I've been waiting for. With fervent desire, I've been looking for this meal because this is cup three of the story. And cup three is this. We were in Egypt, but then God made a way for us to come out from Egypt. He said, kill a lamb, a perfect lamb. Put the blood on the doorpost of the house. And that night, the test came because death walked into the city. And death could not enter our house. And death had to pass over us. Because death could not kill anyone in our house, because our house was under the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the blood of the Lamb declared that we must be free from this place of bondage. Amen. And we must go forward into the place of life. Bless you, Shauna. The rest of the message is just be an overcomer this week, gal. You got Christ in you. You got it in you, girl. All right? Be blessed. Be blessed. All right. So that night they came out of Egypt. Jesus said, this is the one I've been waiting for. He takes cup three and he divides it among the boys. And then they eat the supper. And then it says, likewise, he took the cup after supper. Which cup? Not the cup they just drunk. Cup four of the Passover meal. I got to tell you, most believers are drinking cup three. A cup that's been empty since the day that Jesus emptied it once for all, so that we can drink cup four and only cup four, which is the cup of the Spirit. Halal means to be declared legally insane by natural standards because you're flipping drunk. That's why you've got the life of God of heaven in you. It's the cup of halal. It means to stultify, to declare legally insane. It's so obvious that you've been transformed, we can't help but see it. You're drinking a different life than the life of the flesh. Your life is the life of the Spirit. And Jesus said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant.
Amen.
And I've watched theologian after theologian saying, well, it's cup three, the cup of the blood. That's not what Jesus said. What does blood do? Blood gives oxygen to your body, nutrition to your body, warfare in your body. I got news for you. The blood of the body of Christ is different than the blood of the body of Ted self. So Ted lost his life so he could find his life. And where is his life? I have Christ in me. I'm part of the body of Christ. So the blood of this body is Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, know, and fear of the Lord. That's the life of this body.
Amen.
That's Christ in me. So I need that life. That's what motivates me, is the blood of the Holy Spirit. This is the blood of the new covenant. The other blood was the blood of the old covenant. But Jesus shed every drop of the blood of the old covenant,
yes,
ascended into heaven, yes, went into a throne room and said, come on up here and enter into this throne of grace and receive mercy that says the blood that I shed for you ended that old covenant. Now, find this grace. That's the blood of the new covenant. Come on, find it, find it, find it, find it, you overcomer, you. Find it! In the world you'll have tribulation, but I told you, I've overcome the world. Amen. Greater is he who's in, yeah, you than he who is in the world.
Yes.
You've got Christ in the flesh. Amen. That's the spirit that says Jesus has come right here. Amen. And what's the evidence? Oh, I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a lover. I'm a giver. I'm a blesser.
Amen.
I'm invading the earth with heaven's grace. I'm bringing heaven's grace into my family. Heaven's grace into my job. If your job is hell, praise God. You're heaven. Go invade the space. I got them, but I just hurt my wife. So I'm almost done. This is a slightly different version, but it's pretty close. Okay, so now, I'm going to say God wants to bless you. Here's a verse that is very relevant, very present. In Isaiah chapter 30, God's been speaking to me again and again. Read my blog tomorrow at 10 for you. I'm going to be blogging on it again. But in this place of Isaiah 30, it says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence, you shall find strength.
Amen.
Now, being saved doesn't give you the ability to return and rest. Returning to Jesus and resting in Jesus, letting Jesus return to you, letting Jesus rest in you, will give you salvation. And in quietness and confidence, you will find strength. Strength doesn't give you quietness and confidence. Quietness and confidence, knowing Christ in me, is the hope of glory. Everything's going to be all right. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Why? The pressure manifests the life.
Amen. Yeah.
The pressure manifests the glory. Christ did use the hope of glory. We're in the season where the justice of God is going to prevail, but it doesn't come as God coming with a bailout. It comes with God causing there to be a rising up.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
John was on the island of Patmos, and he heard a voice behind him. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day is not Sunday. The Lord's Day is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah,
yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah, every moment of
the Lord's Day is a day that knows no end.
That's right.
That's true.
Come on, now listen to this. How many cows does God own?
All of them.
All of them. Cows on a cattle on a thousand hills. That's a way of saying all the cows.
Mm-hmm.
How long is God God?
Forever.
It says a thousand generations, meaning God forever. So a thousand generations is forever.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand cattle, a thousand hills is all the cows.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He shows mercy to thousands. What does that mean? He shows mercy to everybody.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
He said, here's a mystery. With the Lord, a day is as a thousand years. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean, oh, it's 1,000 years, this is the second day because we're another 1,000 years? No, it means forever. His day is forever. You're living in a day that doesn't have a sunset. You used to need a sun. You don't need a sun anymore because you have the S-U-N of righteousness ruling in your heart. You used to need a moon, but you don't need a moon anymore. Why? He is your new moon. He is your Sabbath. He is your life.
Yeah.
You don't have a sunset.
That's right.
You used to have signs and seasons and times. You don't have signs and seasons and times anymore. You are the sign, the season, the time.
Yeah.
You're the one that determines the future of your world. Mm. And how? Christ in you is the hope of glory. There's a voice behind you. John was in the spirit. He heard this voice behind him. He turned and he saw the voice. And that voice brings salvation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ that brings grace. So like the prophet Isaiah said, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. He said, but they would not. My question is, but what if they would? And then in verse 18 of Isaiah 30, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait. That word wait for him, the word for is not here, in there. It's those who wait for him in the sense of the word actually means to be joined to wait with. Literally means to adhere to. To adhere to. There's a word that means to be intertwined, like Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord, don't wait for God to do something. If you're waiting for God to do something, he's inside of you.
Yeah, get up and move.
You need to hear the voice behind you. You need to hear the voice that you need to know who's in you. You need to know the life that's in you, you life giver, you. If you don't know the life that's in you, you'll never be a giver of what's in you. You life giver, you. God says, I'm waiting for you. I'm adhering to you, inviting you to adhere to me. I'm not going to leave. I'm in you. You understand the giant that's inside of you. And you've been worried about those giants? They're grasshoppers to me.
Amen.
You've been wanting me to come and bail you out of your situation. For goodness sakes, I made you my house. I set up my habitation in you. Wherever you are, that's where I am. And wherever I am, that's where you are.
Amen.
I'm waiting for you. Why? I want to bless you. I want to be gracious to you. I want to bless you. He's the voice behind us. In closing, there's words that are said in Romans. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Preceded by words that say, don't say who will ascend into heaven to bring it to us. That's to bring Christ down. That's to, or don't say who's going to go down to the abyss to bring it to us. That's already been.
Yeah.
Jesus already went to heaven. Jesus already went down. But what does it say? It says the word is near you and in your heart. That's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30. And Deuteronomy 30 is not about heaven. It's about heaven's invasion in a promised land. What's in the promised land? Giant. What's in the promised land? Antichrist. But who's in the promised land? Christ in you. Your promised land is your marriage. Your promised land is your single life. Your promised land is your workplace. Your promised land is your everyday world.
Yeah.
You need to quit praying for the whole world and start praying for your world.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to live in your world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to look at that that checkout counter when you go up and your mask slips down and someone screams at you. You need to be a life giver. You think anybody needs life in a shaking world? So we have life in us. So Deuteronomy says, don't say who will ascend into heaven or who will go across the abyss, across the sea, down to the abyss. But say the word of God is near you. It's not some mystery. It's Huh? Weird, freaky, can't do it? The word of God is near you. It's in your heart. Here's what it looks like. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose life. The voice behind you is always a voice that empowers you to choose life. God doesn't end in decrease. He ends in glory. I told him earlier that remnant is an old covenant term. Study the scripture. Remnant is the old covenant term. Do you understand that when Jesus came, he harvested the old covenant? The law was fulfilled. He harvested the old covenant. How did he harvest the old covenant? He birthed the new covenant.
That's right.
A first fruit of new covenant makes it so there's no more full fruit of old covenant.
Right.
We don't understand harvest. Maybe you do down in Skagit. Mm-hmm. But harvest is not at the end of the year. Harvest is 7 months. Harvest is every month. From the moment life happens, life happens. And then life happens. First there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this. There's all kinds of diversity in harvest. Harvest isn't at the end of the year. You got 1 week. I got the harvest. Thank God I got the harvest. Harvest is when there's been so much life. Only thing that's left now is bread for eating and seed for sowing.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Everything ends with more bread. I'm more seed.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, real good.
So yeah. Harvest is not, quote, it's over, now it goes down and it rots. And if there's anything growing in the harvest that's not harvest, don't worry about it. It doesn't end up in the barn. It gets burnt.
Mm-hmm. Or fertilizer.
So make sure you live your life in harvest.
Amen.
So we are living in an increase of harvest. And that ends the old and the new covenant. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's a voice behind us. Turn to see the voice. So this week, he set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. It's simple. Choose life. The spirit that says Jesus has come in this flesh is of God.
Amen.
And the proof is going to be, I'm going to be a giver.
Amen.
Not a defender. A giver.
Mm.
Choose life. I have fruit trees. I know the destiny of my fruit trees. I've been looking out there at my fruit trees. And none of my apple trees or my pear trees are out there getting excited about what they're going to get to eat this year that comes off of them. They're a little excited about the poop that I'm going to put on their roots in the next couple of weeks. But they're not excited about my raspberries. I looked at the raspberry run the other day and I was like, oh, I can't wait to have raspberries. I'm so hungry. No, they're saying, give me some poop, give me some poop, give me some poop. I can't wait to give you some berries. Give you some berries, give you some berries. You throw poop at me, I'll throw berries at you. Boy, that's worth it right there.
That's worth it.
Christ in you, throw poop at me, I'll throw berries at you.
Oh, I like that.
Because life brings life to others. You're already alive. So live alive and then be a life giver. So Father, bless your people. Bless us each to live in our world, in our space, being life givers in such a day as this. Let the justice of you, a justice of mercy, a justice of grace, a justice that doesn't vindicate or give vengeance, but gives love and a justice that changes everything to being life. Let that rise up inside of us. Let us hear the voice behind us. Let us turn and see that voice. Let us walk in it. Lord, we choose to return to you, to rest in you. We choose to adhere to you, allow you to continue to adhere to us, to rest in you, to have confidence and quietness, to know that you are working for good. And whatever's shaking in our world is shaking because you're in our world. Whatever's shaking in our lives is shaking because you're in our lives. And you're our hope. You are the life of this body, the body of Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you. Good word.